Father, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege of coming before you, coming to see your word, coming to understand your word, coming to study your word, that we may prove ourselves, O God, a good workman, approved of God, rightly dividing the word. And Father, we pray for each one who has come tonight, that if they have physical needs on their physical body, we ask as the word of God go forth, that you perform and do a mighty work. Stretch out your hand, O God, to wherever the people are seated, that as the word go forth, O God, let your hand touch them. Let the hand of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, bring life, bring resurrection life, and heal the bodies, O God, as they sit in your presence. Tonight, O God, we thank you that you continue, Lord, to pour forth upon our hearts and our lives the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may know your word, that we may understand your word and be firmly established in your word. Thank you, O God, for your grace and your mercy that you shower upon our lives, even tonight. Father God, we ask once again that you glorify your Son, Jesus, in our midst. Lift him high in our midst, O God. Cause him to be highly exalted. We proclaim Jesus as Lord in this place, O God. We proclaim the kingdom of God in this place, O God. Let the rule and the reign of Jesus, O Lord, come upon every spirit, every soul, and every body here. Every heart and every mind, O God. Let the rule and reign of Christ, O God, be magnified here. O God, we worship you. We praise you, O Lord. Let your glory, O God, be seen in the lives of your people in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we are on the Gospel of Luke, 24 chapters. And we are dividing it into three major, four major movements. Four major movements in the Gospel of Luke. And we realize that in a book-by-book teaching, we will not be able to go into details on some passages that contain a lot of material, a lot of wonderful teaching and principles. But what we attempt to do is what I call bring out the flow within the whole book, so that when we do study in detail, verse by verse or chapter by chapter, we will be able to see the entire flow, just like we did in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And each one of these books are unique in a different manner. Matthew, of course, brings to us the picture of a lion. And Mark brings a picture of an ox. Luke brings a picture of a man. John brings a picture of an eagle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Jesus Christ is the king. In Mark, Jesus Christ is the servant. In Luke, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And in John, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, as we read the Gospel of Luke, we need to pay heed to the fact that this is only the first part of his treatise. He has a second part that we call the Acts of the Apostles, also written by the same man. And he used the same kind of description, the same kind of words that come forth. If the most common word in Mark is the word eutychos, which means immediately and gives us a camera version of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, then the most common word in the Gospel of Luke would be the word prayer. Pray and prayer. And what we attempt to do was always to bring out the theme that flows through an entire book. So in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And here is a book that is written especially for the Gentile or Greek mind. Luke, some say, some theologians have said that he possibly was a Greek and not a Jew. And he understands the Greek and Roman mind, and he has written a systematic account and record of the life of Jesus. If the Gospel of Mark has to do with the Gospel according to Peter, then Luke would in a sense be a Gospel according to the Apostle Paul. Although the Apostle Paul did not walk with Jesus like the 12, yet we do know in 1 Corinthians 11, a passage that is often used for the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, Paul says that I received from the Lord Jesus that which I also give to you. Now we realize Paul was not at the Lord's Supper. You find in every drawing of the Lord's Supper, there are 12 disciples and Paul was not there. Maybe somebody should draw another new Lord's Supper with the 12 apostles and Jesus there and somebody standing there like an invisible man and put there Apostle Paul. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul was given the vision and he saw everything happen as if he was there. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul describes that he received from the Lord that which he gave to them. So we know that even though the Apostle Paul did not physically meet the Lord Jesus, he did meet the Lord in the spirit realm. And he received much of his revelation through the fellowship he had with the other 11 apostles and also with the Lord Jesus himself. And Luke, being a close friend of the Apostle Paul, Luke is first mentioned in the book of Acts 16. He was one of Paul's companions. Luke, by profession, was a doctor, a physician. And of all the books, in this book, when it comes to sickness and disease, it is Luke who records in great detail. He gives to us the evidences of his medical profession. So in the medical line, he is a good man to follow. He's a man who strained in the natural and he strained in the spiritual and he became a blessing to the body of Christ. The Gospel of Luke is in four movements. From chapter 1 to chapter 3, in the first three chapters, we are given the birth and childhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it includes the prophet John the Baptist, but primarily the concern was Jesus Christ. So it starts very orderly. In chapter 1, by chapter 3 he was 30 years old. That was a very fast movement. Then in chapter 4, right up to chapter 8, we are given the scene or some scenes of the Lord's personal ministry. Luke chapter 4 to chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, right up to chapter 18, there is a change. Jesus is still there. Jesus still did some miracles. But primarily the scene now changed to the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was like in the background giving some teaching from time to time, encouraging his disciples. See, Luke, being a doctor, was a very systematic thinker. So he gave the birth and childhood of Jesus from Luke 1 to Luke 3. And then he gave the ministry of Jesus Christ in concise form from Luke 4 to Luke 8. And then from Luke 9 right on to chapter 18, he gives a picture of Jesus' disciples ministering and Jesus' dialogue and ministry through his disciples. Luke 9, he sent the 12. Luke 10, he sent the 70 and other discourses that concern him and the disciples, etc. Now in Luke chapter 19, right to chapter 24, it is what I call the final confrontation. When it comes to a climax of how Jesus Christ came, bring it to the what I call fitting finale. And so we have a general outline there. Luke 1 to 3, the birth and childhood of Jesus. Luke 4 to 8, the ministry of Jesus. And Luke 9 right to Luke 18, the ministry of Jesus, disciples and Jesus. And then in Luke 19, right to Luke 24, we have the finale. So let's start the symphony now. In Luke chapter 1 to chapter 3, bear in mind that the key theme in this book is prayer. It continues in the book of Acts. But the key theme in this book is the word prayer. Now as we examine this book, we need to give you a few tools. We need tools to examine something. The better the tools, the more you can examine it. Long ago, when human beings had only a rough, simple, human good eyesight, they look up and they study the stars and the planets. Finally, they invented a telescope and they saw some more. So they understood some more and found out what they didn't understand some more. And then they invented bigger, more powerful telescopes and they see some more. See, the more you can see, the more you can understand, and the more you know how much more you need to understand still. So tools are important. Just as we keep seeing further and further with more powerful telescopes, and now you have a satellite telescope going on. And the same way on the things that are small. When they invented the microscope, they found that, hey, there are some tiny bacteria there. And when it got more powerful, they say, hey, there are now little germs. When it got even more powerful, extra powerful, they say, hey, we could see that dot there. Can you see that small little remnant of genetic material? That's a virus. Invisible to the human eye. And then finally, they invented the electron microscope. And I believe the one who invented that got the Nobel Prize. Then they look down there and they see, hey, those are the atoms and molecules. No man has ever seen that far. They didn't actually see, but the electrical images are transmitted, and they see the images of those formation of atoms and molecules. So the better the instrument, the deeper you see. We say all those things so that we could give you the tools now. The spiritual tools. Since this book is on prayer, we need to at least know that there is more than one Greek word for the word prayer. All we know is just prayer, prayer, prayer. But there is more than one Greek word for prayer, and there is a certain movement in the depth of prayer throughout this book. So we have to give you the tools, if you don't mind. And the main word for prayer in this book is the word prosuke. Prosuke. Can you say after me? Prosuke. Now look at your friend next to you and say prosuke. Please don't mispronounce it and say prosecute. Right? It's prosuke. And it's spelled P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-E. Now for Greek scholars who are listening to this tape, or who may be here, we know that the Greek has a root and has different ending. They have a stem and ending. And when it's a verb, we call it prosukomai. When it's a noun, we call it prosuke. But in order to help people who don't have a knowledge of Greek, we will keep to just one word, because learning one word is so difficult. Especially it's just one word and you've got no knowledge of the Greek. We just keep to the word prosuke, even though strictly speaking it's prosukomai. So that you don't keep saying, hey, that's a different word, because got omai at the end. What is prosukomai and prosuke, and what other prosu do you have? So we just keep to the word prosuke, even though strictly speaking it's a noun, and even though it's a verb, it's prosukomai, we use the word prosuke, and that will be how we'll deal with Greek words throughout this time, so that we're not too confused about different shades of the same word. So prosuke is a main Greek word for prayer. There are about four others, and they do occur here and there. In order to get to those terms, let me show a few here and there. Maybe just two more for a start. Let's cross-reference to First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 and get the tools from there. First Timothy 2 verse 1. It says that in verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Immediately you see there are four divisions of prayer. There is a prayer called supplication, then one called prayers, plural, one intercessions and giving of thanks. 1, 2, 3, 4.